Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Better Ads Neck, the only 90-day fiancé podcast. Today we're going to be talking about 90-day The Single Life Season 4, Episode 10 and 11. My name is Marty, I'm here with Jen.
Hey, guys.
Let's get started with Debbie. So Ruben was a little weirded out by the whole Osama situation,
yeah,
right?
The O word?
The O word.
Which is not the O word I'm familiar with when you talk about the O word, but, right. You know, I'll take it.
So, you're talking about ovarian, ovaries. Yeah. But she might be sending, which I didn't know, she might be sending him money still.
Yeah, she is, isn't she?
She is.
That's what Julian said.
It's like she's sending money to, like, the family or whatever, right?
And then because she says she explains it to Ruben, where she says that, like, she still has an obligation to provide money. And I'm like, you don't have an obligation to do
why?
That. Like, out of the goodness of your heart, sure, but, like, you don't have to support his mom and dad.
Obligated,
like,
to kiss my ass. I'm not sending you money.
Yeah, have his fucking art pay the bills.
Yeah, seriously. He's strong and old, young, and you can fucking work.
Yeah.
What the hell? So, I don't know. Ruben told about the whole Osama situation. I heard from Julian. Julian's a fucking cock block, man.
Yeah.
He's a fucking player hater.
He put his mom in the doghouse big time for no reason.
He's like, let your mom have some fucking fun. Like, you know.
I mean, and to be fair, she should have, she should tell Osama. She should tell Ruben about Osama, but in her own time.
Right. And that's what she said. Like, I wanted to tell him the way I wanted to tell him.
Yeah.
But who knows how the fuck you made it sound, you know?
Right. Like, first time meeting her in person and, you know, her son is, like, cornering you and interrogating you and being like,
right.
Oh, by the way, she was dating a 20-something-year-old and going to move to Morocco for her. I'm like, what?
The fact that your son's there at all is kind of like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right. So, I don't know. So, yeah, I guess, this is how it was. Osama's family is living in a safe house. What the fuck does that mean?
Right.
Like, it makes me think of, like, GTA 5. Was it GTA 4, GTA 5 when you had the safe house?
Yeah. And, you know? I mean, yeah. And, like, you keep all your shit. And,
again, when you need to run from the cops and, you know, refill your health.
Yeah.
I don't know. And Ruben glossed over that. Like, it's like, I would want more details. Like, what?
Or did he, do you think he just thought she meant, like, they're in a safe house? Like, not a house that's, like, crumbling or something? Like, not to be... whatever, like, I don't, is that what she meant? Like, they're in a safe location, as in, like, the ceiling isn't going to fall on them?
Maybe, but I would still want more elaboration. Like, wait, what do you mean by safe house, exactly?
Yeah, because that's how I took it. Like, she's paying for them to be in a safe house. Like,
I'm almost positive that's what she meant.
Like,
but...
I don't really know what's all going on over in Morocco. I'm not really hip to it, but maybe they need to be in a safer zone? From something? I don't know.
Maybe there's, like, crime. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But it's like, Julian, listen, your mom needs to get some of those cobwebs knocked out, and you're being a bit of a bitch, dude.
Yeah.
She needs to get in it.
I did not appreciate Julian doing what he did. He needed to keep his mouth shut.
You know what I think was actually really, really funny? When she kind of confronted him on that.
Yeah.
And he went back to being like a little kid.
Yeah.
He's like,
what the hell,
Mom,
did you just do? And then he's like, what do you mean?
I'm sorry for crossing the line, Mom. He that whole, like, cop tough guy shit.
Yeah, just
dropped all that.
Faded immediately.
Yeah, I thought it was really funny.
Yeah.
So, because Mom can fucking do that, right?
Yep.
So.
And I also liked how, I am a huge fan of the Debbie-isms, and my new favorite one, and this is how I will refer to my my last ordeal, was the sordid past. Like, and she's like, you know, and he told Ruben about my how do you say sordid past with the O word. And I'm like, sordid past, and I looked up the actual definition.
I knew
from context what it means, right? But it's like vile, disgusting, awful. And
not
I'm like,
you,
yes.
You don't hear that often now.
Yeah, I'm like, that is how I will refer to my ex. It's my sordid past, and that's it. Because, like, what do you mean by your sordid past? An ex relationship? Just a bad time in your life? Doesn't matter. My sordid past. That's it.
Sordid past.
With he who shall not be named. Yep.
So Ruben picked Debbie up at the airport, and it was, like, really quiet and awkward.
Yeah.
And you had two late middle-aged people dressed quite flamboyantly.
Yep.
Just not talking to each other. It was, like, kind of, it was heartbreaking.
Yeah. And I felt bad. Like, Debbie was talking about, like, to the cameras, you know, like, about, like, you know, like, it feels awkward. And then she's like, that's what Russ did. You know, like, he said, oh, it's fine. No big deal. And then he changed. Like, oh, poor Debbie.
I don't know.
It's like, you know, people that kind of overshare or have their sons overshare for them, you know, like it's just like, man, sometimes you really can't kind of track backwards from that, you know. It's
right.
Just like when a, you know, six cats get let out of the bag versus one, it's it's hard to wrangle them all back up, man. It's just, it's like, oh well,
right
like she, I felt like she's just kind of free falling, like, well, we'll just see how this plays out.
Yeah. And, but, you know, it ended sweetly, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says he wants to come visit her in Atlanta, so.
And what are the hot Atlanta? I don't like that either. I don't.
Caliente Atlanta.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's better than hot Atlanta. Like, I don't know, like Atlanta, like hot Atlanta doesn't, I don't know, is that just what people in Atlanta
really
say or something? Like, I don't know.
I think people who aren't from Atlanta call it hot Atlanta. I think people in Atlanta probably don't.
Yeah.
Maybe they do. I don't know. All I know is traffic in Atlanta is brutal.
Yeah.
Not as bad as like DC. DC traffic is like Washington DC traffic is sadistic.
It is. It is awful.
It's terrible.
Did not like it. LA traffic is fucking shit also.
It's notoriously bad, yeah.
I don't know how it compares to Atlanta traffic, but
you know who has horrible traffic and does not get talked about enough? Orlando.
Really?
Have you ever been in Orlando in rush time? Rush hour? It's fucking, it's nuts.
I don't know. But I kind of feel like, I mean, isn't rush hour around every major city probably terrible?
No, but this is like way worse than like Chicago and Detroit.
Have you been in L.A. traffic in rush hour?
I haven't been to L.A. in rush hour traffic, no.
That's a nightmare also.
They just don't move.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah. Maybe there's statistics out there of what's worse, Atlanta, Orlando,
be.
L.A.
Like, I think like Orlando's worse than Atlanta as far as traffic goes.
I could see that.
But it's, I'm just surprised because you don't think, because I guess the conception, maybe a misconception, is there's not a lot of people who actually live in Orlando, and that may be true, but there's a lot of fucking people there at any given moment.
Oh yeah, because of the tourism there, and that's like the main roads in like Panama City Beach, like during spring break time, is just like, and all through the summer is outrageous.
Yeah.
I remember when I lived down there, it was like the main highways to get to like the beaches right there by like Destin and stuff was just like, during, from like March till October, it was like it doubled my commute to work. I just sitting in that fucking traffic.
Absolutely.
Like, can you guys all go home, man, so
right.
I can get to work?
And I think it too, when you have cities like that are international cities like Orlando and DC, people who are visiting don't really know the traffic laws here.
Yeah.
And are doing kind of wild shit because they don't know any better.
Yeah.
And you got to, like, they're causing accidents and shit because they don't know. And you're not supposed to make a turn right there. And that's, you know.
New York City traffic is terrible and dangerous like that, too, because nobody gives a fuck. And everybody is doing everything to try to get around, like, all the stopped traffic.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
You got to be really defensive because people are not looking out for you.
Yeah.
So, how about John? So, he packed his things. He was going to San Antonio. He's going to move down to San Antonio.
Yep.
He drove his car all the way, and it made it. I was kind of surprised. I was really rooting for him.
Yep.
Because it was, like, he didn't make it home from the fucking airport. Like, oh boy.
Yeah.
No.
Well, yeah, when he kind of like showed his car pull off, like to drive, and it was like the Dodge Dart. I was like, ooh, fingers crossed.
Yeah. right. And it was but he made it. So that's good and everything. The whole living situation, at least at that time, is really odd.
Mm-hmm.
So here's this dude that I kind of don't really know that well, but I'm moving him in.
Mm-hmm. With your special needs child.
He's a special needs child. And we're all sleeping in the same room, by the way.
Yeah.
Not in the same bed, but in the same room.
Yep.
You know. Thank God they're not sleeping in the same bed.
Well, the daughter's bed was in a different room than them.
Yeah.
And I had to kind of laugh because just the way that, like, John, like, I don't know, just him living at his brother's out of a suitcase, and so presumably, like, just living in the room as it was when he got there. And then, like, now we moved, and, like, he just kind of moved into the daughter's room as it was, like, with stuffed animals and kid shit everywhere. And he just, like, plops on the bed and then puts, like, a little stuffed animal behind his head as, like, his pillow and, like, just, like, cozies up for bedtime. And it's like, dude, you don't even have, like, your own adult pillow?
No.
Living from,
that's
like,
not surprising,
like,
but
couch surfing, bed surfing from, like,
pretty
room
much
to room. Whoever's things are already in there are yours now. It's just, it's just kind of, I laughed out loud when I saw him, like, move the teddy bear or whatever behind his head to sleep on. Like, just,
but
I don't know.
I appreciate he didn't really complain that much about it.
Yeah.
I like people who can just make the best of a situation.
Yeah. And that's why it was so funny, because he just, hey, this is my room. This little child's room with all these toys and stuffed animals
is
my room.
Rock on.
Yeah, you know, like, fuck yeah. This is, right? The stuffed animals, my pillow. All right. Like, it just, Yeah, I think that's what maybe added the humor to it for me.
It was just a little silly. Yeah, I appreciated it. John wants to bang in the laundry room, even if the daughter's like in the other room, mm-hmm. which is kind of a lofty goal. Megan was not hearing that.
Yeah. That's got to be a change because, like, where, I don't know. I mean, I don't know, like, if the daughter, I'm assuming the daughter's in some kind of school, maybe, but maybe not because special needs, maybe yeah. virtual. I don't know how old she is either. Yeah. Hard to tell how old she is. And so it's like, he's used to just meeting up with her, like, what, twice in the 6 months they've been together and just, like, banging it out in hotel rooms. And
right.
that was the base of the majority of the relationship was just having sex. And now yeah. he's living in her home with a child, so he cannot do that.
And they got to wait till she goes to sleep, and then, you know, sometimes you got to get it in where you can fit it in, you know?
I guess.
And maybe
but
they,
he can't you know, when they go to sleep because the daughter sleeps with Megan right now.
She's got to sneak out of the bed and go over to that laundry room.
She's probably afraid she'll wake up and notice she's not there.
Allow him to put a load in. So.
Like he would in, oh, that'd be a funnier joke if they did do it in the laundry room. Like, I've got to put
yeah.
a load in.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's yeah. Hey, laundry humor. That's what I'm doing now. So, but you know what? As soon as the girl woke up and realized mom's not there, they're going to know. You know, she'll start screaming and they're like, oh, we got to stop.
But what
you
if know? She doesn't scream? She just gets curious and wanders into her room and sees things that, you know, you can't see.
Then listen. That's what therapy's for. It's going to be fine.
It's going to be fine.
It's going to be okay. And then Megan kind of drops a not so subtle hint about like wanting to get married. And then of course, John's like, whoa, this is going too far. It's too yeah. fast. It's like, I mean, yeah, dude.
I mean, and yeah, like you're living, I mean, I get it because I think they've only been together like 6 months and I get it. To me, moving to a different state after 6 months and only seeing each other like twice is a lot to me.
Yeah.
And so it's like that and me and I'm not. I don't think I'm on the same emotional level or maturity or whatever you want to call it as John. I think I'm a little bit higher than him. But, like, even for me, that's a big ask after 6 months yeah. to move states away. I guess if you live like John out of, like, a suitcase, it's not – you don't have, like, your whole life kind of rooted or yeah. whatever. But, like, I don't know. Like, then to ask me for a ring, too, I would kind of be like, bro, I just moved from, yeah, you know, from it. Different states away from my family for you. Can you give me a minute?
Because if it doesn't work out, he can just move out.
Yeah.
But if they get married, it's a lot more complicated than that, yeah. you know?
Like,
so.
Does John have a job? Like, did he get a job yet?
Well, I was going to ask, like, did he get a job? Like, does he have insurance?
Yeah.
Do you have and does she have insurance?
Like, what does she do for work?
I don't know.
And so, like, those are important questions. Like, why don't you let a homeboy get a job first here before yeah. making him your husband?
I mean, maybe that's why she wants to get married so quick. She doesn't have insurance. But then, he's got to have insurance to give yeah. her insurance. So, I don't know.
It just seems red flaggy that she's in such a hurry to really lock this all down.
She's not wasting any time.
Yeah.
So, how about Veronica? So, appears to be the morning after the night Veronica and Jamal broke up, apparently. Allegedly.
Yeah.
They've apologized to each other. It sounds like maybe they aren't really broken up. I don't know.
Yeah, like they worked it out, I guess.
I
didn't like the explanation of them working it out because it just seemed like the typical, like the toxic kind of thing where men or women can do it, but where like Jamal seemed to make everything Veronica's fault. Like Veronica is the only one that acted poorly or inappropriately or wrong yeah. or whatever. And like, and Veronica just kind of like laid down on the sword, like, yeah, it was all me. It's all me. I'm the problem. And it's like, you may have been part, like, both of you were part of the problem, but it's not like, I don't know. It's manipulative when both people were wrong in a situation. I mean, Jamal kind of says like, oh yeah, I apologize too. But like, it really felt like it was
superficial.
Yeah.
It wasn't really.
And it really felt like it's Veronica's fault. Veronica's the problem.
I'm sorry you made me do that.
Yeah.
You know, like,
okay. I wouldn't have done that if you weren't the problem. You know, it just kind of, it just seemed very blamey on just Veronica.
Right. Yeah. It was very Veronica centric.
Yeah.
And then he mentioned that he may be moving to Charlotte, but he's not going to put a time frame on it.
Of course.
Basically, he's not going to move to
Charlotte. This is called a breadcrumb.
That's a lip service, man.
A love-bombing breadcrumb. Yeah. Ooh, when I move to Charlotte. Like, oh, he said he's going to move. And then he just never does.
Yeah, I'm not putting a time. Don't put it. You can't put a time frame on it.
Like, and then the next time, like, okay, when Veronica will ask him, like, so have you thought about when you're going to move to Charlotte? He'll blow it up into a fight and like, oh, you're rushing me, blah, 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 yeah, blah, blah. And then it'll be
her fault again
that he didn't move yet. Right. And cycle repeats.
Oh, my girlfriend's crazy. You know? Yeah. Okay. All right. That's pretty much it for them. How about Chantel? I'm so glad to like be done with them.
Yeah. I hope there isn't another, I don't know, like the next season of 90 Day Fiancé and it's her and what the hell is his name?
Giannis.
And I don't know. I just overall felt, I don't want to, not embarrassed, but like disappointed in Chantel. Like, she's like, oh, I can't rush in, but like, I'm rushing in and I got to be careful because we live, you know, I got to be rational of the reality we're in, but I'm rushing in and I'm already in love with him after 4 days. Like, it's just, I don't know. She came off overall, I think, desperate. Pretty desperate. Yeah.
It's like, I'm in love with him after 4 days, but I'm ready to break up with him because he didn't pay me enough attention once.
Yeah. Yeah. and yeah, exactly. And it's just like, I don't know. If I'm Pedro watching this, I'd be like, wow, she looks really desperate. Wow, she looks really like, and like, it seems just really immature, like very, and even her talking about how like, I'm ready for my next fairy tale. Like, you chasing fairy tales is why you ended up in the situation you did.
Don't you? Yeah. Like, why would you want to chase another fairy tale after the last situation?
Yeah. Like, yeah. You want, like, I get what she means by fairy tale, like a love story, whatever, but it's just like, this is not, I don't think that this is the right way to go. I mean, if it works out, great, but like, you're doing it again. Like, you went to Greece for a vacation to get some D, and then you decided you were going to fall in love with the first guy that was nice to you that you met.
Pretty much.
And, you know, and it's just, it's very immature. It is very, I'm a 6-year-old girl believing in fairy tales, and, you know, Prince Charming is going to come on a horse, and, you know.
He really was the first one to really give her attention, and that was the one she fell for.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep. and it's just, and, you know, and it's, so it just seemed very, it was just very disappointing. Like, as a woman, like, she can do better, like, in general, you know. I mean, it's fine. I mean, it works for some women, I'm sure, to look desperate and to, you know, sink your teeth into the first thing you see. Right. But for somebody that went through what she went through and was in a marriage for, I think, like 7 years, got divorced, very painful for her. Yeah. Like, you do kind of need to, like, find yourself again. Like, find your identity as a single woman.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you have to fuck people. You can if you want. It doesn't mean you have to date people. You can if you want. But, like, she really needs, it sounds cheesy, but she really needs to be comfortable loving herself again.
Yeah.
And people think that just means, like, I don't know, very superficially, like, yeah, I love myself. What are you talking about? But, like, no, like, you gotta, she has a lot of work to do, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's doing it. And she said at the end, like, I've done a lot of work. And, like, no, you haven't. Because you're falling in love with the first dude that gave you attention here. And you're back in it again.
And then she was ready to dump him. But after, like, a couple of drops of honey in her ear, she's right back in there with him.
Yeah.
So.
And I don't really think they're a good match. Because, like.
Not really.
I don't know. It's. Like, the whole surprise date. Like, I get it. Like, I would be kind of annoyed because, like, do I have to wear hiking shoes?
That was so funny. I was just about to bring that up. He tells her, I have a surprise date. So she gets all dolled up and brings her to a soccer field.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you could do a surprise date, but tell him, like, dress comfortably.
Yeah. And so, you know? To her credit, he should have been more specific of, like, I mean, because he's already seen her in, like, a dress and heels every time
seen her casual.
Yeah. So it's like, he should have been, like, dress casual, you know.
But he's not the first dude we've seen in this series do this.
Yeah.
This happens a lot.
And yeah, and it's like, I mean, maybe, so it just, I don't know. He seems like more of a down-to-earth kind of guy. She seems like the type to wear a skin-tight dress and Louis Vuitton heels that are 7 inches high.
Right.
And it's like, and that's fine, but it's like, he's a sporty guy. He plays sports, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. We don't know much about him to say, but like, it just seems like she's more glammy. And she was kind of, she was irritated that, oh, we're at a field, and then like has to begrudgingly takes her Louis Vuitton heels off, you know, and it's like.
It was kind of funny when she was like, I'm barefoot on the field, like trying to kick a soccer ball.
Yeah.
Like, okay, dude.
In a dress, in a skin tight dress. Like, can your leg even move a little bit? Like, you know.
Yeah.
And again, not totally her fault because he didn't clue her in at all. But also, the fact that she was like, you could tell she was bothered by this was the special date.
Yeah, like she maybe was expecting like caviar and wine.
Yeah, it's kicking a ball around on the soccer field.
And I think that's probably to your point is why it's not going to work out.
Yeah.
Because he's not a caviar and wine guy.
Yeah, he's the, you know, drink beer and eat snails at the Snails Festival guy and right. kick a soccer ball around. And, you know, and she's that dolled up whatever person, and which is fine. But it's just, I don't know. I don't think that it's going to really work.
Yeah, I'd be fascinated. I'd be really surprised if he ever made it to Atlanta like he says he was going to.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, but the one thing, you know what? Either we're getting ready to leave the resort, go to the fucking airport, and he chased her down with some flowers to give her one last smoocheruno.
I thought that was super cute. Like, well done,
very
sir.
Very rom-com.
Like, all like, you men out there, pay attention to this.
Like, damn, Matthew McConaughey. Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
He's walking up to like, oh, is this the van? Like, asking production or whatever. You know, like, oh, yeah, you know. And yeah, I smiled. I thought it was super, super cute.
Yeah.
But just this whole fairy tale concept that's going on here, like, it's, I was annoyed at the same time.
It's also like, you know, reality is going to hit at some point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. But what can you do? How about Natalie? Long story, too long, didn't read. Natalie and her mom went to meet Michael in L.A. Michael came down to meet them, and they had lunch, dinner, whatever, had a lot of fun, and then Natalie and Michael went off on their own to talk.
Yeah.
And Natalie put it all out.
Yep.
Like, listen, I want to get back together. I want to have a kid. I want to do all this. And Mike's just like, no.
Yeah. I was so fucking proud.
I was too, man.
I wasn't fazed at all by Natalie and her DeLulu or her mom. Like, of course she's here. Of course all of her other plans have failed. And now here she is wanting Mike again, who she should have stuck with from the beginning. But like Mike said, she chased her dreams and shit and whatever. And this is where it landed her.
Right. And he's like, I'm not going to be your backup plan.
Yeah. I was so proud of him.
Yeah.
He didn't even hesitate, man. He was just like, no. I will not be your backup. I'm not your last option.
Right.
Like, you had me. You had your chance. You made your decisions. You were with other men.
Yeah.
It's been years. And then when she tries to be like, backtrack, like, oh, I was with one man, and it was Josh, and that wasn't even a relationship. Oh, now you're aware that wasn't a relationship?
Now you know?
Like, now that's not what it was?
Better?
It was just, I was
it's
so
It's only not a relationship
him.
Because he wouldn't make it a relationship.
Yep, exactly.
You wanted it to be one.
Yep.
And quite frankly, all this shit you're talking about with Michael, like, oh, you're the one that's supposed to give me a child, you were saying the same shit about Josh 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And like, you know, and Josh or Mike even told her, like, dude, I worked my ass to get you here. And you know, I try to make it work. We try to, you know, be butt heads. And then you decided you wanted life in L.A. You were going to be a model, big superstar, all this. And like, I wasn't enough.
Yep.
And you found out L.A.'s a lot tougher than it seems.
Yep.
It wasn't rainbows and unicorns. Now you want to come back. Now you realize everything you left.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah.
I'm actually moving forward with, like, the divorce.
Yeah. And she was like, I'm not going to get a divorce. And all this, like, dramatic shit. And, like, and she's acting like, oh, Mike is the love of my life now. Like, no. Like, you're so delusional, man. And like, I felt bad for Natalie because, like, I don't know. This is one of those moments where, like, this happens. Like, people fuck around and find out, man. And, you know, and that's what happened. And now she found out what she really lost.
Yeah.
And she's going to be 40 and she has no kids. She may never have kids.
Yeah.
And you had it. You had it with Mike and blew it.
It's a tough lesson, but it is a lesson you have to learn.
Yep. It's like people do blow it big time and they do not get to try that again. Like,
right.
You know, and people that happened. That's Natalie's story. And I was just so proud. And Mike was just like, Mike wasn't mean. He wasn't nasty. He was just to the point. Yep.
Yeah, matter of fact.
And she's like, oh, is it because you met someone? He's like, no, but
I'm trying to.
Yeah, I will. And he was like, I believe I will meet someone and I will find that love. And, you know. Yeah,
talk about a dude that like knows his value.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I was so proud of him. It's like, people, men and women are Natalie's all over the place and they blow it big time. And there are bridges that they absolutely cannot cross back over. And it's like, this is what happens, Natalie. This is what happens sometimes.
And I think, I can't say this for sure, but I think she probably was in this mindset that like, oh, I'm this hot woman. I'm going to party it up in LA. I'll get modeling work easily. Mike's a simpleton. He's a bumpkin, redneck, and da da da. And then you realize that, you know.
Yeah, that what you really wanted all along was a family and a man who loves you. And you had that. And
Mike
Squeam
was stability.
Squeam? Is that what it's called? Squeam?
Squeam?
Squeam? That was his town?
Squeam?
I think. Squeam? Yeah.
It's spelled like sequim, but it's not pronounced sequim.
It's like Squeam.
It's like Squeam
or
something, yeah. Yeah, it's like he had a lot of stability that you took for granted, and now you really, really desire.
Yep.
Because you're on your own and it's scary.
Yep.
And it's like, well, you know, fuck. And quite frankly, she's talking about how much she loves him and everything. He's loving her life. She was pretty nasty to him when they were together.
Yep. I was thinking about that too. She was terrible to him.
Right. She was not nice. And it's like, well, you can't, you know, family's for life. You can't divorce family.
It's like, but you did for like the last 5 years, basically.
You weren't saying that when you left
and
were trying to get together with Josh. Josh was a piece of shit and used you up and cast you aside. Yeah, well, that's not Mike's problem, man.
Yeah. She had everything she wanted with Mike. Mike's the best she will ever get. And
probably.
She shit the bed big time.
And I think she realizes that, you know?
Yep. And now she's got to sit with that. Like, you fucked up. Sit with that.
It reminds me, there's a Facebook group that's called Well, 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 If It Isn't the Consequences of My Own Actions.
Yep. That's her.
And she needs to join that group.
Yep.
So, next week is the tell-all, y'all.
I am excited for it, but I am least excited for Chantel's mom being on it. I'm just so over her.
Oh, we saw her aunt.
If I never see her mom again, I'll be happy.
It looks like maybe she had some work done, too.
Yeah.
Just from the little I saw in that clip. Yeah. Bit. Chantel certainly looks like she had some little something done, you know.
Yeah, something with her face, man. I don't know it is. It's different, and I don't know. I don't know if it's like almost like her eyes look too small for her face now, and I don't know if it's Botox. I don't know if it's cheek implants. Maybe I don't know if it's just the ratio of her size of her eyes and her fake eyelash. I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
But it's like her eyes are too small for her face now.
Right. And it's like, but just take a look at photos from her and Pedro's like first season on the show, and then look at now. She looks different.
Yeah. And I think we say this about everybody, like that we talk about like this is like she looked beautiful the way she was the first time we ever saw her.
Yeah. People have their insecurities, but
I don't know. Yeah. But she definitely does look different, and she does like a weird thing where she kind of like talks out of one side of her mouth now. And I don't know what that is, but
Bell's palsy face. Like, stop it.
Yeah. It's just, you know, but like, whatever, as long as she finds herself beautiful and likes it, I guess that's what counts.
Well, you know what?
But I just don't like Karen's personality at all.
People can't be like totally cool with piercings and tattoos and then be shitty about like plastic surgery.
Yeah.
To me, it's kind of in the same vein.
It's like, maybe I wouldn't do that or that's not for me, but like, hey, if that makes you feel better, okay.
Whatever. Do your thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. So, join us next time. We'll talk about the tell-all. Goodbye. How many parts do you think it's going to be?
God, I hope only two.
I'm hoping for...
Really?
Yeah.
It should only be one. I mean, not a lot happened. People dated, whatever, you know. I don't know.
Maybe Tyree got some poontang.
Oh, yeah. I'm not looking forward to Tyree talking about his penis either in the tell-all.
Really? That's the part I'm looking forward to most.
But yeah. It's like a car accident. It's like, it's terrible, but you can't look away, you know?
Yeah, I know.
But so, we'll see.
Goodbye.